You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Sam Turner to look ahead to the best of Thursday's racing. We've got four races to look at, two at Brighton, two at Chelmsford as well, coming up in just a few moments. But first things first, good afternoon, Mr. Turner. How are you?
Hello, Alex. Yeah, very well. Thank you very much. Yeah, and delightful to be back in William Hill Towers.
Good. Good to hear. In terms of Thursday's action, we're going to look at Brighton and Chelmsford. There's also racing at Carlisle and Uttoxeter, as well as Punchestown. We're focusing on the flat. It is still technically the flat season, although it is just sort of dwindling a little.
This
Thursday is a fair example of just sort of the the end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the cusp. The flat stuff is fairly modest, with the odd undoubted highlight, obviously, with Newmarket last weekend and Ascot and Champions Day this weekend. Still terrific fixtures, but the jumpers are starting to crank up a gear, which is great. Good cards at Weatherby on Wednesday, Chepstow at the weekend as well, and moving forward now, it's all very exciting.
It is. You mentioned the jumpers. We're going to start just by talking about the £1 million on offer for anyone that can emulate Courtois Star, basically, and land the Triple Crown. That is the Betfair Chase, the William Hill King George and the Cheltenham Gold Cup in the same season.
Yeah.
Nice idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it necessary?
I don't think it is, myself. I think that £1 million could be well... I mean, the cynic in me suggests that it's highly unlikely that a horse is going to win all three. Mm-hmm. So it's... Yes, the £1 million is there. It's been ring-fenced by the BHA. But the cynic in me suggests that it's highly unlikely that it will get one. I'm sure they've taken out an insurance policy to cover it if it does get one. Mm-hmm. It's got a few column inches in the papers. I would rather see the £1 million go towards the grassroots of racing. You know, perhaps class four, class five races, ensuring that they're a certain value rather than, you know, allowing some race courses to run these races at an absolute pittance. I think that's disappointing if you're an owner, that, you know, the prize money is still deteriorating and is still very poor, because I don't think the game will ever regain its strength at that level unless we start looking after the owners a little bit more and ensure that we've got horses to go to war with in the next 5 to 10 years. But it's probably a discussion for another day. But it's made for a few cheap column inches. I think it's interesting that they decide to launch it middle way through October. You know, obviously, by which time a lot of people have already got in their mind where they want to start off their horses and are targeting their horses at certain races. And I think they've probably made their mind up by middle of October. So for me, it's a bit of a late sort of statement, really, because a lot of horses will already have their programme targeted and they're unlikely to divert from what they're doing to go to Haydock for the Betfair Chase just on the premise that they might win £1 million if they win all three. I just think it's a little bit cheap PR myself, but there you go.
Okay. No, I think I'd agree with you on that front. It is just... It's sort of the rich getting richer, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, and that's happening in flat racing all the time. You know, they're obviously ramping up the major crown jewels, which is all very well and good. But, you know, for those of us who work in racing on a Monday to Friday basis, there's lots of other problems that could be addressed with all this money that's being thrown at racing at the moment. And to make the sport stronger, make the route stronger, rather than just having one or two nice branches with a pretty flower on the end.
Mm. No, I think that's fair. Talking of throwing a lot of money into horse racing, Paul and Claire Rooney have moved their horses, or they're about to, from Donald McCain's yard. Something that, in hindsight, has been coming for a while. If you sort of look back, that, you know, that the performances haven't been there for quite a while now. But nevertheless, it's a huge blow, isn't it, for Donald McCain?
Well, it is, because, you know, 50 horses would be worth, you know, well over £1 million in training fees. So that's, you know, a big hole and a big chunk taken out of that yard. Donald, by his own admittance, hasn't had a great season last year. didn't really have any notable Cheltenham runners. Starkitek finished fourth in the Fred Winter. But, you know, that's really the bare minimum that a stable of that magnitude would be requiring and would look to achieve, really. And his biggest prize money winner was The Last Samurai, who won a couple of races around Kelso for the Roonies. And, you know, when you're having 50, 60 horses, the law of averages would suggest you'd unearth one or two duels. Mm. But obviously, Donald's horses weren't 100% last year. It's very, very difficult for a yard when you can't get your horses fit and healthy. It's an invidious task, really, to try and train big winners. A lot of money is coming into the game from other sources. You know, the riches of this world who are buying up, you know, Simon Meunier. They're paying exorbitant figures for nice French horses. And they're simply better horses. Mm. You know, the 75 to 150 grand bracket gets you a really nice horse, obviously, but it probably doesn't get you a world champion.
No.
Whereas, you know, 400,000 to 500,000 or £1 million in France, €1 million, gets you, might get you a Vator, might get you a Fahin or whatever, you know, those sort of horses. So it is difficult. It's not necessarily a level playing field. But Donald, I think, by his own admittance, would suggest that he should have done better with the 50 or 60 horses that he's had at his disposal, really. And if he is a key member of the buying process, which I'm told he is, then he's culpable, you know, for their lack of success, really.
Mm. But hopefully other owners don't desert him and he's able to sort of get back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether there's any strength in this theory I have a little bit, that he's almost better operating at the bottom end, unearthing the duel, rather than the 150, 200,000 purchase and having the pressure of, what do I do with this? And going down that traditional route. I mean, that's the way, historically, that his family have, you know, they've unearthed, you know, little gems in the rough, really, and that's how they've made the name. I'm sure he'll still be verging towards 100 winners in the year, between 75 and 100 probably, and be interesting if Jason Maguire gets back, what then happens to all the Rooney horses, you know, whether Jason in a year or two's time decides enough's enough, he's had some bad injuries and goes into training, whether the Rooney horses head to Jason, because he's their sort of racing manager, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And how will that affect the relationship between Jason Maguire and Donald McCain, the fact that all the horses have gone elsewhere?
Mm. Certainly one to keep an eye on, anyway, over the coming months. Mm. Final bit of news, just before we get on to the races at Brighton and Chelmsford. The new one making his seasonal reappearance on Sunday. I believe on Thursday as well, we've got some cracking racing at Punchestown, haven't we?
Don Cossack runs, yeah.
So the big names, if you like, are slowly just sort of coming to. We've got the Charlie Hall coming up in, 2 and a half weeks from now.
Cheltenham a week on Saturday.
Exactly.
So Friday-Saturday meeting.
Just cranking up. But the new one... at Kempton in a William Hill sponsored race as well. He's chosen a good one, hasn't he?
Oh, unbelievable choice of engagement.
But he's likely to be very, very short odds.
Yeah.
But
1-5, 1-6, something like that.
You'd expect him to get the job.
It's a nice opener for him. Nigel Twiston Davis gets a bit testy if you start questioning whether the new one should be running in a champion hurdle. He'll point to his age, he'll point to the fact that events haven't worked particularly well for him. He'll also point to the fact that he should be in his peak of his career this year. Was he eight this year? Seven, eight?
Be...
Eight in the new year.
Yes.
Perhaps he's seven now.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
So, you know, he's hardly over the hill, is he?
No.
You know, you're talking about Hurricane Fly running in champion hurdles and running with great credit at the age of 10 and 11. There's a little bit more mileage to be had with the new one. He obviously works the best horse that they've ever had there. He comes at the gallop there like nothing they've ever seen before, and I've been lucky enough to see him, and he's a great mover. Yeah. And they still think that there is a possibility of him winning a champion hurdle. The faith seems undiminished, and why should it be? You know, people have tried to get him to step up in trip and move up to the stayers hurdle, and maybe he will do that, you know, in a year or two's time. But I think he's going to have a couple of cracks at winning a champion first, and it'll be fascinating to see how he does.
Mm. You can't begrudge him for losing to Fahin last year, can you?
No, exactly.
He's only beaten at 8 3/4 lengths. It's not, you know, ridiculous that he could.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me, do I think he's a champion hurdler in waiting? Probably not.
Mm.
Probably not, because the battalions of Mullins will always keep producing one, I think. And I think he will struggle, and he probably will need to go up in trip in time and you know, maybe the stayers hurdle, we never know. I mean, he might run a couple of trials early on, look a little bit short of the pace that connections Feely has, and he might step up. That Stayers division looks really open now with Jetski obviously out for the season. Yeah. So it's fascinating to see.
Could be interesting. But yes, he's won this race as well at Kempton as a pipe owner for the last 2 years at 2s on and 2 to 11. So expect him to be around 2 to 11 as well on Sunday, but it'll be nice to see him return safe and sound. Right, we'll move on to Thursday's action then. And the first race that we're going to look at is Brighton's 520. It's a handicap over almost 7 furlongs. We've got 16 runners down to go to post here, Sam. We'll start with the top one, French Press, for the Appleby team. A horse that's been great, Nick. Mm-hmm. Well placed as well of late by Mr. Appleby.
Yeah.
And will be expected to run another race that, crucially, has Brighton form in the bag.
Since he won at Brighton back in the middle to late August, off a mark of 49. He's risen £25 in the handicap, this son of Caliph. And who's to say that the improvement hasn't finished just yet? Mm. You know, he's rattled off a quick four-timer, winning at Brighton, Hamilton, Chelmsford and Redcar. He's made to work quite hard at Redcar by Orient Sky. He only just sneaked in that day in a Class 6. He's been very, very well campaigned by Michael Appleby. He's got a couple of entries this week, not least in Brighton, in this Caroline Walsh Memorial Handicap, and then at Catterick a couple of days later. So he clearly feels that off a mark of 74, he's still very competitive. Drawn 15 as well. Now, if the ground was to get really soft, that would probably suit French Press, because he could make his way towards the near side rail, where a lot of the horses like to come when the ground is on the easy side. I don't think it's a straightforward task for him, though. I think he's taking on a better class of horse here. He moves up in grade to a Class 5. He has to, because of his rating. He's still been found a nice opportunity in 0-75, and he's going to be a warm favourite, isn't he, looking for the 5-timer. But I'm not sure there's going to be a great deal of value in him if he is going to be short. And I'd probably take him on with a couple here. Port Lege runs the trap very well. John Gallagher's horse is in good form at the moment. He won't mind the cut in the ground. And I will just give the nod to Rouge Nuage, who's one of those very rare beasts in that he's a 7-furlong specialist, really. Mm. He does flip up and down the distances a little bit, but predominantly he's kept to 7. He ran really well at Epsom last time when I didn't think the track suited him ideally. They just seemed to get away from him early on, but he stayed on really nicely. Brighton's climb to the line should be okay. Good horse around Wolverhampton as well, so expect to see him plying his trade at Dunstall Park this year. And I think he's on a reasonable mark at the moment, 71. I mean, he's, you know, runs on the all-weather off a mark in the late 70s. He's probably not quite as good on turf, and he wouldn't want the ground to be too soft. But, you know, he is still a useful conveyance on the grass. And I think if the ground just dries out a little bit, the 7 at Brighton Perfect should be a good gallop on. He can come from behind and hopefully get competitive.
Okay, Rouge Nuage, the pick then, in Brighton's 520. The final race on Brighton's card is the second race that we're going to look at, and it is the 550. Handicap over the extended 5-furlong trip. We've got 14 runners down to go to post, and quite a few of these, Sam, arrive here in good nick.
Yeah, Michael Appleby's got a last-time out winner in this as well, Jacob's Pillow, who was a very nice horse with William Haggis at one point, or looked like being a quite a useful tool. With William Haggis, had spells with Jed O'Keefe and Becky Basterman, has now ended up with Michael Appleby, one of these classical horses that has fallen away somewhat from a mark in the mid-80s, down to 69, and nicked the claimer last time out, beating Tango Sky at Hamilton, was then sort of snapped up by Mickey Appleby, an owner of Mickey Appleby's, for 8,500, and is pitched straight in here into a handicap over 5 furlongs. He will be popular. However, I'll probably just fancy a couple against him, and they both ran the same race last time. Burning Thread and Indian Tinker, for whom I think the track will suit. Indian Tinker has just been getting outpaced on a flat 5, and I think the stiff 5 here with a bit of dig in the ground will play to his strength. So I'll probably centre around those two. They both come out the same Nottingham race. Burning Thread was second, Indian Tinker staying on fourth, and hopefully that form's strong enough to see them take a hand in the finish here.
Okay, that's Brighton done and dusted. Then we'll move to Chelmsford. The first race there that we're going to look at is the 5:45, which is a nursery over 6. A few of these have been on the go for quite a while so far this season, Sam. May be better to focus on the slightly less exposed runners here.
Which is what I've done. Just the four races that Force has enjoyed, Raven's Pass Colt, John Gosden and Highclere Thoroughbred teaming up here. Won a maiden at Haydock very cosily with a first-time hood on for Frankie Dettori off a mark of 81. Strangely, it's only gone up to a mark of 82, which I think's, you know, quite a lenient piece of handicapping, to be honest, because I thought he won with a little bit in hand that day. Very, very smoothly travelled into the race and nudged clear under Frankie and comes here in a nursery. John Gosden's had Cartago work his way through the grades in nurseries this year, and I think Force could be another one.
Okay. The final race is Chelmsford 7:45, handicap over 6 furlongs, and again a few informed types here. You've got Spring Loaded, who runs here with a penalty. You've got Kingscroft, who won last time out.
Yeah, Red Stripes runs the track well. So yeah, it's a tricky little race, but I was really impressed with Spring Loaded, son of Zebedee last time. Grey Gelding, trained by Paul Darcy, does well on the synthetics. Really impressive. I put Yao up on the podcast last week, and he ran really well, but this horse absolutely destroyed him. Mm. 1/3 1/4 lengths. Has gone up a fair chunk retrospectively in the handicap. He's been put up 9, so no surprise to see Paul Darcy running under 6 here. Reasonably drawn in 2. You don't want to be 2 on the inside here, but Kingscroft is 1, so that's one of his dangers to his left, as it were. And I just think he's a progressive type. Stable are going quite nicely at the moment. He just looked as though he won with any amount in hand last time. He previously ran really well at Ascot and Doncaster. Hopefully he's just peaking at the right time and can go in again.
Okay. Fair enough. That's the 2 at Chelmsford. Then can you just spin us through your 4 fancies for Thursday, please?
I can, yeah. I wouldn't say there's maximum confidence behind them, because they look tricky races. But Rouge Nuage, hopefully she'll run well in the 5:20. Fingers crossed all 16 stay in, because type of horse that you want to bet each way with four places. In the 5:50, a couple against the field here. Indian Tinker and Burning Thread would catch you the eye. Then at Chelmsford, Great Leagues, I'll still try and call it Great Leagues. At Chelmsford, number 4, Force. Looks nicely handicapped still for John Gosden and Rob Havlin. And later on the card, really interesting 6 furlong handicap, which can go the way of Spring Loaded.
Great stuff, Sam. Pleasure talking to you, as ever. And enjoy all of Thursday's race.
Thank you, Alex. Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.